Hello, welcome to the Comic Connoisseur. Tonight we'll be talking about He-Man and the new reboot and all properties, movies, comics, etc. as we can think of. Of course, I'm my co-host, Andy from Saskatoon.
I wish I had something clever to say here.
Also, this is Red Ink.
And I say, hey, what's going on?
And so I cry sometimes when I'm lying in bed, just to get all out what's in my head. And I'm feeling a little peculiar. So I wake in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath and get real high. And I scream off the top of my lungs, what's going on? JT?
JT, don't sing.
Fuck you for ruining it.
Like so many things. Yes, we're talking about the most powerful man in the universe, the only guy to hand wrestle Superman to a standstill, which is actually the very first He-Man comic I ever read, was the issue of DC Comics Presents, which was the all Superman. It's basically Superman's version of Batman in Brave and the Bold. It's the first time I ever saw He-Man, although I don't think that was the first He-Man comic. I think that came out after the initial DC Comics miniseries in the very early 80s.
He-Man had his running series in Marvel for a long time.
Yeah, though that came out after, because somewhere in my cavernous comic book collection is the original, like I said, DC Comics Presents. I think it was like, I want to say 57, although I think that's, I'm probably off on that. But there was that, and then DC had a three-issue miniseries of Masters of the Universe, but it was presented, or the story was presented as following the early mini-comics where He-Man was this Conan the Barbarian-like guy who came down from the mountains, and his battle harness gave him super strength, and he had to go to like this cave to where he stored it. And then after that came the cartoon, and that's where we got, you know, Fabulous Secret Powers were revealed to me, and we got the Prince Adam origin. Maybe I'd like to ask you, what was your guys' first introduction to He-Man?
It was a show before Thundercats.
Did you like the show before Thundercats, Ben?
I caught the end of it before I was watching Thundercats.
Did you actually watch the show, Ben?
When I was older, because lots of people I knew were fans of He-Man, I'm like, okay, I'll give this He-Man show a try. And I watch it, and I'm like, it has all the flaws that Funimation are known for are up to 11 in He-Man. Like
Filmation.
Pardon me, Filmation. I think freaking, what's it called? Bravestar has more animation than He-Man.
Not by much. I mean, better animation to be certain, but I don't think it was actually animated any more than He-Man was. They certainly didn't reuse backgrounds and, you know, segments of them running down halls than the original He-Man. Which, to be fair,
He-Man used Bravestar backgrounds, fucking Blackstar, whatever the fuck is it? Joan Blackstar, whatever the
Brave
fuck
Star,
is.
Blackstar.
There was Blackstar, then He-Man, and then Bravestar.
And then Star Trek fucking backgrounds as well.
Okay. Who the fuck is Blackstar?
Blackstar was this early attempt by Filmation to create a sci-fi fantasy series about a Native American astronaut who gets sucked through a black hole and lands on this totally not Eternian like planet, and he has a half of the power. There's this one sword that the bad guy gets half of it, and it basically looks like a big ass icicle, but it's a sword because Filmation said it was. And he didn't just have one Orko. He had an entire tribe of Orkos as backup.
Tribe?
Tribe. Like, there was this whole family. There's, like, 7 or 8 of these little pink-skinned Oompa Loompa-looking mothers who
I'm looking at the intro right now, and it looks like he's fucking Snow White, and they're the 7 fucking dwarves. Because they're standing basically over him sleeping. Like, what is... One of them has giant fucking ears. What am I looking at?
You're looking at Black Star, Ben. But yeah, that was the proto He-Man animated series that Filmation came out with, and then we got He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Prince Adam, chosen by Destiny to receive the powers of Castle Grayskull and defend it and the planet Eternia from possibly his evil uncle Skeletor and his minions of evil.
So, I don't mind the representation, but why the fuck is Lou Scheimer so obsessed with Native Americans?
Well, unfortunately, we can't ask him that, Brent.
Well, to be fair, there were no Native. There were. Okay, good one. There were no Native Americans in Robin and the Dreamweavers.
What the hell is Robin and the Dreamweavers?
Don't. Just drop it.
Yeah, okay. We're dropping it, Ben. Fight the urge. We're dropping it. Moving on.
So, Black Star birthed both He-Man and Brave Star, is what you're saying.
Yes.
That's kind of awesome and horrible at the same time.
Like, Black Star only ran for one fucking season, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. 13 episodes or whatever the average was back then, and then He-Man.
And I always remember I had the Black Star toy because I wanted a He-Man toy. My mom didn't know the fucking difference. Saw this Black Star. Okay, I'll get this.
That happened to a cousin of mine where he got a bunch of He-Mans later on. Sorry to interrupt, Brad, but he got a Hercules and a Warlord action figure because it's one of the... Oh, we don't talk about it that much in the history of Masters of the Universe, where DC Comics got a bunch of the molds because famously all the male characters were basically popped out of the same mold and just given different accessories. And DC and whatever toy manufacturer, they got these molds and they made like Hercules and Arrak and... Travis Morgan Warlord, and was it Machist or Machista? He had the black guy who had like the Morning Star for a hand. They had those action figures. But yeah, and I ask you, Red, like, where was the cartoon or the comic your first introduction to He-Man?
The cartoon was my first introduction, but I was so young I can't remember. Like, He-Man started in like 1983, I think. And I was 3 years old when it first fucking came out.
Yeah. Just looking.
Like, my first memories of He-Man is sitting at my babysitter's and watching it at like fucking 1 a.m. because I couldn't sleep.
Wow. No, my like the comic, like I said, that Superman comic was my first, and then the cartoon. Although I think the first few episodes of that I had a couple of Transformers and a couple of He-Man videotapes when I was a kid. It came from Family Home Entertainment, if you guys remember those, with like the crayon scrawl before the cartoon started on the video. I had like 3 episodes on each tape, and one of them was a 2-parter where He-Man fought it was Shakti. It was just like this evil demon that was trapped in a temple, and she was like trying to seduce He-Man to trick him into releasing her onto the world. But you know, you go from the cartoon to the toys. Probably my favorite toys that I had growing up after Transformers. I remember when I was really young, like the first, like, holy shit, my parents actually got me this for Christmas toy, was they got me Castle Grayskull when I was a kid. And then I became eternally jealous of my cousin Jeff because he got Castle Grayskull and Point Dread, which was that little bit that you could clip on top of Castle Grayskull, and it had the Talon Fighter, which was like that giant jet that looked like it was made out of a giant hawk. But
My story with the toys is going to bring you down. When I was a kid, I used to have, childhood epilepsy. So I'd have seizures and shit as a kid, and I'd go to the hospital all the time. And I'd go to the child's ward. And I always remember I used to share, they'd always put me in the same room for some fucking reason. And I'd always share, every time I'd come by and visit, well, have a seizure and go to the hospital, there's this kid who had cancer that I was staying with in the same room. And he had every fucking He-Man toy imaginable. I just remember the hospital room, his corner of the hospital room would just be covered like with Castle Grayskull, all the fucking, like all the vehicles and all the He-Man figures and stuff like that. And I remember playing with him, playing with his toys and playing with him and stuff like that. And then I can also remember one day just showing up and he wasn't there.
Damn.
Shit.
But, like, when I was working my job, too, I fucking ran into this guy who, in his basement, he had, like, all the fucking He-Man figures and just brought me back to that moment again.
Yeah. I remember, I think it was you, Ben, and this is probably a couple years ago at this point, you had shared a video in the chat with us, and it was this guy doing showing off his He-Man collection in his basement. And of course his you can see on the walls, it's that classic like wood paneling that everybody's basement had in the 80s, and the law is just like wall, like caked on the walls, like metal stand like shelves with like every action figure and some vehicles and stuff mint on card, and he even had like He-Man.
Sorry about that, folks. Internet connection died.
I was just asking if you had any of the He-Man toys growing up.
Nope.
Didn't? That's crazy.
Lies and heresy. But you're going back to the cartoon, outside of Skeletor, because everyone loved Alan Oppenheimer's Skeletor, who was some of your favorite characters in the show?
The Sorcerers?
That counts, Ben. You sound a little trepidatious there.
Well, I have vague memories of the He-Man cartoon, other than the fact that that Prince Adam. Gwildor? What?
Gwildor?
I don't know who the fuck that is.
Nope. Oh, God. Okay. We'll come back to that. And, I'll ask you, Red, what were some of your favorite characters in the animated series?
In the animated series, I have to say probably He-Man himself, and that's about it. I always thought his fucking villains were all goofballs.
Yeah, because I remember a while back I found on, I think it's the DreamWorks YouTube channel, they have all the episodes of the classic, you know, MOTU series. And I was watching the first episode again, like where Skeletor gathers together his, you know, minions of evil. And I remember that first episode being scared of Trapjaw as a kid, because, you know, he's got like the metal bear trap for a mouth, and he's got the cyber arm that he can hook all the different weapons. This guy's kind of creepy. And by the end of the episode, I was like, this guy's a fucking joke, because He-Man just walks up, grabs his laser arm and curls it back. It's like, here, let me get that for you. I think my favorite villain outside of Skeletor was probably Beastman. If if for no other reason, I'm usually a fan of the second banana lead minion in a show, and the guy's basically like, he's not quite a werewolf, but along those lines, so I like that. And heroes, yeah, I mean, He-Man, you say the same thing about his companions as well. Outside of Man-at-Arms or Teela, most of the...
They're all, like, fucking major chuckle fuck-ups.
Like... Yeah. Like, the only one with any personnel beyond, like, let's go stop Skeletor, He-Man was Ram-Man, because, you know, that guy's got a major, like, attorney in CTE, because the dude literally... throws himself head first into a brick wall and comes out, I'm okay. Like, does he even have a brain, or is he so far beyond Chris Benoit that he's come back to sane again?
Too soon. Jesus Christ, JT.
So you're saying Ram Man for the WWE Hall of Fame?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, Red, should I just tell Ben about the movie?
I've seen the fucking movie. I know the movie better than the fucking show.
And you don't know who Gwildor is?
I was staring at the chick in the fucking leather bikini standing next to He-Man the whole time. I don't know what you were watching.
I paid attention to other things within the movie.
It's a Dolph Lundgren movie from the 80s.
Yeah.
It's got Tom Paris in it.
It's got Courtney and Cox
Monica
before...
from Friends.
It's got Courtney Cox before she fucked up her face with all those surgeries.
And Principal Strickland on an off day. Which, sadly, I remember the first time I saw this movie, I looked at my dad, it's like, why is the principal from Back to the Future a cop now? And my dad just looking at me is like, that's my boy. No,
the end of the movie, you're kind of like looking at Strickland, like, did he just stay there with a bunch of sex slaves?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Okay, I love the Masters of the Universe movie on the same level and for the most of the same reasons that I love the Street Fighter movie. You know, it wasn't exactly what we wanted, but we get a lot more than we asked for. Mainly in the fact that Franklin Langella played Skeletor, and he did that seriously with every amount of devotion to his kids who loved Skeletor, and that was their favorite toy. He embraced the fact that it was an inherently silly sort of setup, but he played it with such joie de vivre that his Skeletor is on the same level as Raul Julia's M. Bison. Fight me. And of course you cast Ivan Drago as the most powerful man in the universe, because who else were you going to cast as He-Man in the 1980s?
Back then he could barely speak English.
Yeah.
Hard to believe he's a Mensa member.
Yeah, but you don't really need to speak English to be a chemical engineer. But what I read, when you look at the trivia on the movie, is like they were going to get a different guy to dub his lines, and then in post-production they got Dolph Lundgren, like he got his shit together, so he actually does technically voice the role. Just
it was actually they were going to get somebody to dub him. They hired him. They even recorded lines and shit. Then Dolph Lundgren's like, it's in my contract that you got to use my voice. And they're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. I mean, the plot of the movie is, that's the worst, honestly, and I say this seriously, the plot of the movie is the worst part. Like, we start on Eternia, Man-at-Arms, Teela, and He-Man meet Gwildor because for some reason they didn't want to use, they thought it would be too expensive to do Orko in the movie, although that's understandable because
No. The He-Man movie... is a salvaged, what do you call it? A salvaged
New
script.
Gods. New Gods.
It was changed from a New Gods movie. If you look at all the fucking characters in there, you can overlay them with New Gods characters.
Yeah, I guess the Cosmic Key would be a mother box.
It was even summoning fucking boom tubes for fuck's sake.
Well, yeah. But I was, like, looking at like I was going to say there, is one thing you should know, folks, is the Masters of the Universe movie was gifted to us, and I like to say gifted to us, from those crazy bastards at the Canon Film Group who gave us Missing in Action, Bloodsport, Cyborg, you know, the early career of Van Damme and the mid-career of Chuck Norris, you know, before Walker. And I did read, like, you know, they recycled that script, but they were looking at doing Orko, but it ultimately was decided that it would be too expensive, a special effect puppet sort of thing, to do for the budget they gave the film. So we got Billy Barty with giant ears and... what is Wilder saying? He was a locksmith?
If you think about it, when you watch that movie, He-Man is obviously fucking, what's his face?
The Man of War.
Orion. Teela's obviously Big Barda. Fucking Man of... the Man of War, whatever the fuck his name
Man
is.
Man at Arms.
Man at Arms is obviously fucking Scott Free. And... Wildor is obviously that one guy who's based off of Jack Kirby, the fucking little dwarf guy. I can't remember his name.
Puck.
Oberon.
Oberon, pardon me. Oberon, yes. Right. Yeah.
All right. Does that mean Frank Langella was playing Darkseid?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so then who was Evil Lyn? Granny Goodness? Or yes. Lashina?
Yes, she was Granny Goodness. Because if you look at all the fucking bad guys, all the other guys, they're also based off of the fucking... The Fury? The Furies? Yes. They're not based off of He-Man's fucking villains. They're based off the Furies.
Okay, I based on design, the look of the characters, I would argue that Korg, like whatever that lizard-looking dude with like the white pompadour hair would be Granny, and Evil Lyn would be one of the female Furies. That would be my argument. I mean, Beastman is obviously Kalibak.
Yes, Kalibak.
Okay. So, and also, you guys probably know this, listeners might not. If you've ever seen the movie, folks, and I highly recommend you do, it's some delightful 80s cheese. The entire end fight, like where the best moment in the film is Dolph Lundgren pulling the sword out and saying, "I have the power," because that's pretty much the only thing I wanted from that movie to not suck as a kid. And the whole fight where Skeletor takes the powers of the universe and becomes Liberace's stunt double. And when they have that last fight at the end and it's mostly dark, it's not because they've destroyed all the lights or they've sucked all the energy out of the place. They had literally run out of money in the budget, so they had to shoot those scenes in a darkened warehouse to create the illusion of this epic contest of wills. And then, yeah, the principal from Back to the Future stays on attorney with a bunch of sex slaves. Also the first end credit scene in a movie that I ever saw as a kid. Because if you watch all the way to the end of the movie, folks, Skeletor will pop his head out of the water at the bottom of the previously thought to be bottomless pit and says, "I'll be back," which they were going to make a sequel, and then canon fell apart, and a lot of the props and stuff they had was folded into Jean-Claude Van Damme's Cyborg, if I remember correctly. Now, did you guys read the Marvel comics? I think you said you did, Red.
I read some of them, but not all. I remember them being at my dentist's office.
Yeah. Published through Marvel under Star Comics, which was like their kid-friendly imprint. You know, you had like Planet Terry and Top Dog and the Madballs comic, and it was more the He-Man comic book from Marvel was kind of like the Transformers comic book from Marvel. Like they had stories on there and they're trying to tell a story, but by and large it was a monthly advertising for the new toys. Like every issue or every other issue you had new characters showing up, which would shortly become new toys. Like I remember, I forget what they call, but there was a subline where there were a bunch of guys and JT, animals.
JT, hold on to that thought really quickly. I just need to check something really quickly. Give me 1 second. All right, I'm back. Am I back?
You're back.
Awesome.
We heard you.
Good, good. All right, continue.
So there was a subline of toys in the toy line in the 80s where you had these guys. I remember very clearly from the comic because I would absolutely beg my parents to get these toys where they were meteors that would turn into dudes or they would turn into these animals. And no, I'm not talking about the Rock Lords.
Powerful living rocks.
I can't believe I had as many of those as I did when I was a kid.
What?
Why would you admit that? You know,
okay, at what point in the course of this show are you even surprised about anything?
JT, I got one for you. You know they tried to make a line of Rock Lords that are very similar to how He-Man, like Transformers had the Power Masters? They tried to make a Rock Lord line like that? But no one would buy
them. Seriously?
So they repackaged them as Pet Rocks.
I'm honestly trying to figure out whether or not you're fucking with me right now. So, anyway, you have the Marvel comic. Like I said, it's advertising like the Marvel the Transformers comic from Marvel. And then you had... I own it now, and I've watched most of the series. I do not remember New Adventures of He-Man being a thing.
Yeah, it had the Gary Chalk voice He-Man.
Where He-Man became a space gladiator hundreds of years in the future of a planet Eternia.
Yes, and with my new family and the power of the magic and the good, it looked like garbage, so I didn't even touch it. Because he looks like a fucking, like a Bible cartoon shepherd in the opening. It's like, what is this?
Yeah, and then he becomes a ponytailed space gladiator with like the strap over his chest and full pants. He has proper pants. He doesn't just have the leather furred bikini briefs anymore. And I remember reading up on this, like at some point his friends Red just put a gif into the chat, folks, of the most useless He-Man toy ever, the Dragon Walker.
You know, I think it's actually faster if they got out and walked.
I wonder if this is just they're trying to ape that bridge layer toy that they had from G.I. Joe. That at least kind of makes sense.
Nah, they should have like two. They should have like two rocket cars that draw lines to make bridges. You know, they jump over a ravine. It'd be great. You know, Wayne Enterprises can build the fucking flying tanks and everything.
Yeah, and I should say the Dragon Walker is literally this thing where it the length of two cars. You sit in the chair. It zips to the end of the plank. Then it spins everything around and keep going. Like I've seen skateboards with better maneuverability. But no, I was reading with the New Adventures of He-Man, part of the story, at least in the toys or in the cartoon, when He-Man comes to the future to defend, I forget what they rename Eternia in the future, but they're to protect them from the evil space mutants. The spaceship that his friends have somehow becomes infused with the power of Castle Grayskull, and it can morph into different forms. And now He-Man can go off into outer space because that was a problem before. And Skeletor gets a face, and I don't just mean he gets, like, his skull. No, he gets, like, kind of gets skin, and he gets eyeballs, which was really off-putting. Do you remember that one, Ben? Bug-Eye Skeletor?
I remember Bug-Eye Skeletor, but I don't remember much else about I only saw that cartoon was the opening. Which had animation that I know would never see the actual show. It was like a Deke cartoon where it's like, or a Ruby Spears cartoon or a Rankin Bass cartoon where it's like, okay, we have $3 million to make a 26 episode series. Great, we're going to spend $2 million to make the opening. Fuck the rest of the show.
And then, I mean, in between or during He-Man and then New Adventures, we have the She-Ra cartoon, which I really like the She-Ra cartoon. Mainly because, you know, it was basically He-Man, so what's not to love? I've tried to watch the new She-Ra.
Yeah, let's not mention that.
If you like it, fine. I was not a fan. And then the basically for 10 years, we didn't have any He-Man until the 80s nostalgia boom hit in the early aughts, which started with Transformers, G.I. Joe, He-Man, and then Thundercats. If
you're forgetting, you are forgetting about the big one here.
What's that?
TMNT.
Yeah, but Ninja Turtles didn't really leave for as long as the other franchises did in this time.
They kind of did. They were gone for a decade, man.
They weren't as prevalent, like, but I mean, like, stuff like, well, Transformers was always there, too, but I don't think Ninja Turtles was gone as long as, for as long as the others, just in the respect that they're not really considered part of that boom, is what I'm saying. Do you get what I'm saying?
I think it should count as part of the boom, but...
Well, I'm not saying it doesn't. Anyway... Like, you got Transformers, G.I. Joe, Ninja Turtles, Thundercats, He-Man makes the comeback most explicitly with the 2002 animated series, which marks that first real example of North American animated series really taking a lot of cues design-wise and mostly design-wise and partially the writing-wise from... There's a lot of anime in that first animated series, or second animated series, I should say.
Third, if you count the He-Man space.
Indeed.
But, JT, Jordan wants you.
Yeah, that's probably just my mother. And indeed it is my mother. I will text her back later.
All right. Are you sure they don't want you at the power chamber?
No, Bulk. I'm good.
All right. Lord Zed's not stealing a toilet paper roll from the grocery store?
No, he's not. So, did you guys watch this 2002 series?
I did watch this and I loved it. I thought that it was fantastic. I like the fact that He-Man, or Prince Adam, I should say, resented the fact that everyone loved He-Man but thought that he was a screw-up. Because there were several episodes where he's like, you know what, I'm going to do this as Prince Adam. I don't need to be He-Man. Turns out, no, he needs the extra muscle, so he has to become He-Man. And there's a dynamic there I thought was interesting and that I liked. I liked the fact that Teela had a little bit more to do. And I liked the fact that Man-at-Arms was actually kind of a badass, even if he was voiced by Gary Chalk.
What do you got against Gary Chalk?
The Inferior Optimus. Anyways, it's a good series. What I loved was there was this one scene where Skeletor and one of his underlings grabs an ancient mystical artifact. And Skeletor just walks off to look off the cliff because, you know, just stare stoically as evil villains do. And his underling looks at this mystical artifact and he's like, you know what? Skeletor's back is turned. I could totally fuck him up. So he blasts Skeletor point blank with this mystical artifact, like fucking fills the screen with an energy mystical blast, some shit. The blast ceases. Skeletor is still standing there with like fucking smoke and shit all over him, all over his feet, but he's still fine. He just turns around, walks up to his underling, takes the artifact out of the underling's hand and just walks away. He doesn't even treat it like it's an attempt on his life.
Yeah, as much as I love Alan Oppenheimer and OG Skeletor, the one in 2002 is my favorite. Like, how about you, Red? How do you feel about the O2 series?
I liked it. Like, I've always realized that the fucking 80s series was silly. I mean, He-Man grabs a fucking Slag Titan and then drills to the center of the earth and shit like that. In the original.
There are worse uses for stalactites, yes.
Like, when I first watched it, it had the intro, like, I'm Adam, and these are my secret power, and then it gets interrupted by Skeletor, and I was like, okay, we're in for something different. Let's fucking do this. Let's watch it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love, like I said, the first thing I love about the series was the designs. Like, I never, as much as I like the Snake Mountain in the original series, I like the, you know, lava flowing out of the mouth of it in this one. Like, it looked even more like a threat. And I loved, like, stuff they kind of touched on the original series, like the idea of Teela's parentage. Like, it's, we know that the sorceress is Teela's mother, and she had a daughter with, it's either Man-at-Arms or Fisto, who's strongest right hand in Eternia. Not exactly something you should be shouting out there every day, man. But, like, they leave that question there, and the overall, like, I remember, I don't think they ever had any of the Snake Men in the original series other than Cobra Khan. And even then, if they showed up, they would kind of look like cut and paste with slightly different designs. Like, when they brought the Snake Men in the second season, oh, I was scared. I'm 20 years old at this point, but, like, Jesus, these guys are going to fuck everything up. And they almost did. And they were building towards, like, bringing Hordak back and, you know, have the proposed, if they had finished the second season, because the second season was cut short and they never got the third, because by that point, you know, wasn't pulling enough numbers in the ratings and making enough money in the toys. The third season was going to have Hordak come back, and basically the minions of Skeletor and the Masters were going to have to team up to defeat the evil horde, and they're going to bring in She-Ra and do some stuff there. Overall, I think it's the origin of Skeletor in this one I love the most, because, like, you actually see him get the Two-Face special.
Keldor.
Yes, Keldor, who was... They didn't establish in this series whether he was Randor's, like, King Randor's brother or not, but he was at one point part of the Defenders of Eternia before going rogue. But, you know, you see him take the acid to the face and then making this bargain with Satan to, you know, survive because he's about to die with half his face being melted off.
What I thought was really interesting about that whole thing was King Randor is a warrior king. He was, I wouldn't say he was the He-Man of the old generation, but he technically kind of was. He was the leader of the Defenders of Eternia. They had other members of the team. There was a younger Man-at-Arms. they were all just doing their own thing, protecting the Council of Wizened, whatever the fucks they were, before the Elders. The Elders before they ascended and said, Randor, you're going to be king now. Because in the old series, I always had felt like King Randor was like this, like, fuddy-duddy king that didn't really know anything, but in the O2 series, King Randor is a fucking warrior king.
Yeah, no, versus the, Adam.
Yes.
Oh, you scamp from the original series. I guess I'll ask you guys, with you first, Red, who was your favorite redesign on the villains?
The villains?
Yeah.
Skeletor, probably.
Outside of Skeletor, my favorite redesign was Stinkor. Because I think he showed up in one episode in the original series, maybe. But, you know, you'd think, okay, this guy, he's got, like, bad hygiene. How is he a threat? And they made him a threat in this show. But how about you, Ben? Who is your favorite villain redesign?
Probably Hordak in the flashbacks. Because Hordak, like, so Hordak's 80s design is, like, way too busy. Way too, like, just lots of even leveled lines everywhere that don't really give definition, just makes it look messy. But this Hordak looked like a fucking beast.
Well, this Hordak kind of confused me when I watched that series, because they show a flashback of fucking King Grayskull, and he's fighting Hordak. So how is She-Ra part of this when King Grayskull died like thousands of years ago? What's going on?
Well, I mean, She-Ra's Adam's twin sister.
That's his point.
Yeah. I mean, do you like the original show where you see young Hordak kidnap Adora and escape to Etheria? You have something like that. I mean, it's not like it's one-to-one from the original show. I mean, if you go to the heroes, I think my favorite hero redesign was, it's kind of a tie. It's Roboto and Ram-Man. It's just, Ram-Man, I think my, just, the thing they did there different was, like, you know, he takes, like, that big metal head and shoulder pads thing off, so you see he's not just trapped in there, and then by and large, like, it's work that Man-at-Arms has done, and, you know, Mechanek, too, although apparently he can stretch his neck like Mr. Fantastic can with, like, no limit. But I loved Roboto, how he was a chess-playing robot who, in order to fulfill his role of, you know, protecting or whatever, like, he gets this idea somehow that he's going to be one of the masters, and he ends up, you know, robocopping himself. I love that bit. The comics that came out of here were sparse, and that's all I can say about that.
I think no one knew what to, you know, because other than people like Red and I, who didn't have a lot of love for the old show, but knew of it.
Oh, I had a love for an old show.
Okay. But, like, some people, I remember, loved the old show so much, they rejected this show. And they wanted to explain why.
Just, I don't understand that, like, because, like I said, at this point, it had been 10 years since New Adventures, which wasn't... I'd sooner watch the G.I. Joe Deke animated series than New Adventures, in for a multitude of reasons. But, yeah, it's just like, when something's been gone for a while and they come back, like, I get that you love that original thing. And something you guys have, you know, counseled me on over the years is, like, you know, you can like something else more, but why are you hating on this? And it's like, yeah, I just don't understand why people hate on something like that. Like, you don't have to love it. I know I've talked to some guys who thought, like, it was overly redesigned and it was too much anime, and, you know, some people just fall in love with a certain aesthetic and aren't willing to let it go. But, you know, I mean, you go on from here, really, the toys are the only things that stay somewhat current over the next few years. Like I said earlier, we get the Maddie Collection, Masters of the Universe series, which really kind of spun out of something fans referred to the 2002 toys as being Staction figures. Like, they were more little statues than anything, because most of these toys, you know, maybe you had a little articulation at the wrists, but other than that, it was head, shoulders, and hips. So basically the pose they were in the packaging was the pose they were on the shelf, and there wasn't a great many vehicles to come out for the line.
Well, there was one vehicle we know of.
Does Battle Cat count as a vehicle? Kind of. If it's not Battle Cat, which vehicle are you referring to?
I was referring to Battle Cat.
Okay. And even, like, the Castle Grayskull that came out was pretty sure was a redesign of, or a remolding, I should say, in some part of the original Castle Grayskull, because I think it even had the throne trapdoor mechanism in there. And you go from the Staction, like, did you guys ever see any of those Staction figures from the Maddie Collectors line?
No,
no, not really.
They are really well done. Like, you think, you look at, say, the Marvel Legends toys in terms of, like they really nail the designs. They're, you know, the right proportions. Everything is put together very well. It was really good. It's just a pain in the ass to keep up with, like, the collector's packaging and the different rates. And you're looking for, say, this version of He-Man. Like, they had the... I think they even had remolds or, like, new versions of, like, say, Battle Damage He-Man and Skeletor, Laser He-Man, some of those really odd variants they had in the original toy line. And then you come up to the modern day with the comics. Like, I think it was about 10, 12 years ago, when in the middle of the new 52, DC got the license to make Masters of the Universe comics again. And they had this one ongoing with a bunch of one-shots, which are all interconnected, and there is a reading order that has been established with that. But at some point, and this is where this was the first time, honestly, I am totally serious when I say this. This is the first time that I ever said, fuck you, to the new 52, is they redesigned He-Man. So initially he comes in with, like, the boots, the briefs, the chest harness, and just because he's like, you know what, time for a change. So when Adam transforms, all of a sudden he's got, like, a shirt or tunic with his battle harness, and he's got pants, and he basically looks like a He-Man version of those initial 52 designs where every superhero looked like they were wearing armor or just had an excessive amount of lines on their costume. But it went on from there. And I don't suppose either of you guys have ever looked at the modern He-Man comics.
No.
Okay. Which brings us up to the modern day. And there has been work that they were making a live action movie, and it was last year, a couple years ago, they said, you know, we're moving forward in production. It's moving out of production or development hell. And they cast He-Man, Prince Adam, as this actor, Noah Centineo, who's known for a bunch of, like, teen romantic comedy movies, a television series called The Fosters, and most infamously, he was a side character in that horrible Charlie's Angels movie from a couple of years ago. And now that movie has gone back into development hell because for one reason or another, this guy has decided to leave the project again. Like, it's like, nah, I'm not going to do it anymore. So now that's gone. And now we got two different He-Man animated series coming out on Netflix. There's a CGI animated one, which is supposed to be very much influenced by anime, which I've seen one design of, and there's not much to talk about there. But we do have what is very much the origin for this topic today, folks, was, you know, they've talked about it for a while now. Kevin Smith's working on this He-Man Masters of the Universe Revelations. The Revelation or Revelations?
Revelation, I think. I don't know.
Revelation, no S. And, you know, was it Red? You put the trailer in there today?
Ben did.
Yes.
Okay. It looks good. I mean, designs look all right. The animation looks pretty fluid. It
looks like 2002 He-Man.
It does. It really does.
It does. I mean, I'm all for nostalgia and this stuff coming back. I'm a big fan of Kevin Smith. Did they need to use Bonnie Tyler's Holding Out for a Hero? I think that song has been used way too much. And I think it's both of you have said, you know, it's going to two episodes and it's going to become the Teela show because it's going to focus for a large part of the series in Teela looking for Prince Adam. And it takes place like after the final episode of the original 80s series, but it's still supposed to be set in that world.
So if it takes place after the final episode, that means Skeletor has discovered the love of Christmas.
Yes.
He's the good guy again now?
The children.
That was the final fucking episode.
The children. I'm not good. I'm evil.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I get that. Make it a sequel series, but to, like, every time Kevin Smith talks about it, he's talking about this takes place from the last episode. And I think you really, you don't set yourself up for failure with that, but you limit the story. I feel it limits the storytelling abilities of the writers and the animators into, like, lock it in with, like, that kind of mindset like that. But
if you're going to do Masters of the Universe, you shouldn't have done a sequel to the 80s. I know everybody loves the 80s show and all that shit, but you should have did your own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that works. Or, like I said, just make it a sequel and say it's, you know, 10 years later, 5 years later, you know, some time has passed from the end of the series and Teela has to go, like, Eternia has kind of fallen to crap and Teela has to go find Prince Adam and I ipso facto He-Man because they're both needed for whatever reason.
Well, if you're going to follow Lou Scheimer's plans, He-Man dies and Teela has her has Prince Adam's baby.
Did you ever read the... Sorry, you read...
And then in the future, I guess Prince Adam's son becomes the new fucking He-Man or some shit.
Oh, you read that Bible too?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should mention, folks, that you can find it online. There was, it was, I think it's during, at the same time or just after New Adventures came out, they were looking at doing a sequel, an actual sequel series where it's years down the line, Adam has become king of Eternia, Teela is his queen, he still has the power, he hasn't given it up yet, and they find this I forget what his normal, like his regular Prince Adam name is, but this kid who's basically it's attorney in Tarzan, and he, when he uses the power, he becomes Hero, son of He-Man, and there's like a teen Skeletor, I think it was like called Skelepunk or something dumb like that. And it was going to be like a bunch of like old heroes, new heroes, some kids of previous characters, such like that. It probably would have lasted as 13 or 26 episodes. I'm fingers crossed that if it had happened in the universe that that came out, it was better than New Adventures. But, you know, I'm looking. Are you guys at least going to check this new series out? Kind of looking forward to it.
I'll watch an episode.
Is Cam Clark voicing He-Man?
No, Cam Clark was Prince Adam He-Man in the O2 series.
I know, but when I hear, watching the preview for this one, I hear him say, "I have the power." That sounds like Cam Clark to me.
It does. Look at the voice cast here. Prince Adam He-Man is being voiced by Chris Wood. He's the husband of Supergirl, Melissa Benoist. He played Mon-El on Supergirl. Mark Hamill is Skeletor. Sarah Michelle Gellar is Teela. Liam Cunningham from Game of Thrones. Davos Seaworth is playing Man-at-Arms. Lena Headey is Evil Lyn. Oswald. Fucking Oswald. From Drew Carey's show is King Randor and Trapjaw. Fucking Steven Root is voicing Cringer. Cringer's going to talk in this one, guys.
Yeah.
Kevin Conroy's in this. Jesus Christ, I didn't know that. He's voicing Merman.
They should have had fucking Steve Buscemi as Triclops.
Yeah. Henry Rollins is good. Or Steve Buscemi as Stinkor. Like, look, I love the fact that Kevin Smith has nothing but love for his, you know, hetero life mate, Jason Mewes, but I know Steve Buscemi or Jason Mewes is Stinkor. Discuss.
Eh.
They even got Tony Todd in here. Jesus. That's the voice of Candyman. That guy's got a voice that could curdle milk in the best way.
Does he voice Orko?
No, he voices Scareglow, who, if you don't know that character, was a toy came out, was like the He-Man mold with glow-in-the-dark bits for his bones, and the original story they were going to go with that character was he was the ghost of Skeletor from the future who came back to the past to prevent his untimely death. And I'm looking forward to this. I would like to know more. Like, apparently that other He-Man, like Masters of the Universe, like the anime one, it's supposed to drop some point this year. But aside from like one promotional image, they literally haven't released any information about it, which makes me wonder, is it even still coming out, or do they just not have that much faith in it? Or has Kevin Smith sucked up all the advertising budget for his show and said, fuck everyone else?
I think they're probably waiting to see how well this one does.
Yeah.
Now, I guess just kind of wrap it up here a little bit. If you guys were to do something, say you have full creative control, all the more money than God, if you were going to redo the Masters of the Universe animated series, what's like one or two things that you would try and do different?
What do you mean by different?
Well, like,
we don't know what it is yet.
Well, no, like, you're going to do your own version of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe for television. You know, you look at the O2 series, the original series. What are some stuff they did there that maybe you think they should have done differently that you would try and do differently in your show? Like, would you make Orko less of a fuck-up?
Orko should not be a badass. That's the one big problem I had. Okay. I've had many problems with the new trailer, but Orko being a badass is a huge problem because it's fucking Orko.
Just stay in his lane?
And keep in mind, in the original series, Orko wasn't supposed to be a fuck-up. He lost his magic wand, and then because he doesn't have his magic wand, all his spells fuck up on him.
Yeah. Versus the O2 series where he's just a fuck up. Like, they never really, you know, get into that too much. Just, you know, he saves Prince Adam and Cringer, and, you know, he becomes the court jester. But, I mean, if I were to change one thing, like, they kind of did it to extend the O2 series, I would make the villains at least, like, not make them villains. Like, don't make them thugs. Like, have them have some agency. Have them have some competency. Not, you know, after the three-part pilot of the O2 series, they kind of fell into that 80s thing where, you know, Trapjaw and Triclops are like, Beastman fucked up again. He-Man sure kicked your ass, Skeletor. Like, you know, make them a little more Destro and not so much Orko. You know, just kind of have them have this greater agency, like, make it more of a threat. You can still do something like that and not, and still make it for kids and not make it totally adult. I mean, kind of what they did with the G.I. Joe Renegades, where Cobra is Walmart and it's run by an evil Sir Richard Branson. But even the villains that showed up, like, they failed against the Joes, but they were still a threat, and, you know, they would come back for revenge. But, you know, like I said, in the O2 series, Beastman gets beat up and he goes, you know, sulks in his room, and then he comes back, I'm gonna get you this time. And I guess final thing, what's one piece of the He-Man media franchise that you would definitely recommend, you would urge people to check out?
O2 series, easily.
Yeah? Red?
Yeah, the O2 series.
And we're agreed. O2 series, definitely the original. I mean, it's as silly and childish as it is, I think it still holds up. And of all the shows that had the PSAs at the end, I think the PSAs had more from He-Man had more of effect on me than, like, say, G.I. Joe or anything like that.
G.I. Joe, I will say, they actually taught me how to stop a bleeding nose.
Pork chop sandwiches! Pork chop sandwiches!
God, I love those videos. So, and I'm definitely going to check out the Kevin Smith series. I'm giving it my standard 3-episode thing. Although, I think they're splitting in, it's 10 episodes the first season, they're splitting them in half because reasons.
It's because it's Netflix, and that's what they do. It's, well, here's the first half, we'll call it a season one, and we'll give you the second half of season one, and we'll call it season two.
Yeah. That's
the Voltron.
Because I mean, yeah, they're legendary defending in this series for some reason. So I don't know. Do you guess there's not much else to say? I'll let Ben close it out because he's got that shit on lock.
Well, He-Man's been going on for almost 40 years now. We got 1.5 good series out of it, I guess. So we'll see how this new one is. This year's Ben.
JT from Saskatoon.
Red Ink.
And we're saying goodnight.
So long.
I'm John Blackstar.
You have to say it more monotone and stoic.